neither let it be afraid. Now, because I taught on it not too long ago, I will go ahead and the word peace is irene. That's from the Strong's, and 1515 is the word. It means one, peace, quietness, rest, or set at one again. We are three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit lives forever. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And our body is this flesh suit we wear. And many times when the Bible refers to the flesh, it is referring to our soul. This thing right here, it rots. Even if Jesus returns right now, this thing is going to have to die. Now, the Bible says it'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Will we put on the indestructible? But Jesus' flesh had to die, the flesh and blood. His flesh, his soul, it had to die. He had to give over to God that night in the garden, because the Bible says he was sweating great drops of blood. Do you know how much stress you have to be under to bleed like that? For the capillaries in your body to explode. You talk about high blood pressure? That's pretty high. His body was still susceptible to all the same things we are. So most of the time in the body, when Paul was talking about the flesh, he's talking about our mind, will, and emotions, the things that actually control us, our anger, our sympathy, all of that stuff, the things that make up who we are. But our peace gets shattered when a catastrophic event has occurred, doesn't it? December 8th, 1941, September 11th, 2001. Many people had their peace shattered by those attacks. I know one man who was born prematurely on that day because his mother got word, because she had a family member in Hawaii. Her body triggered into such an event that she gave birth to him early. Stock market stalled. Panic kicked in. Questions arose. I remember, they always say, do you remember where you were? Yep. Every one of us who was alive then remembers where we were. Honestly, I have to say I had no idea what the Twin Towers were. They meant nothing to me. I've seen the pictures. Still didn't mean anything to me. It's like, oh, yeah, it's the New York skyline. But I do remember the emotions. Once the dust settled, once we started realizing what happened, things in me rose up that I had put to bed. One, I nearly re-enlisted. I was like, you know what? I've been itching for a fight. When we didn't go to Baghdad, I was a little ticked. I was like, I want to go. That's what you trained me to do. Little did I know that a couple weeks later, God would birth this right here. That's when he told me to start this. If I had enlisted and then gave into my flesh to make it feel better, one, might not have ever had Justin. Two, might have ended up dead. Too many Christians believe that if for one second you have this happen to you, then you lack faith. That is a false doctrine from the pit of hell. Not believing that God is mightier than anything that may have happened is a lack of faith, but not necessarily sin. Even Thomas had doubt, and he had literally touched Jesus. He was with Jesus, and even he doubted for just a moment. Jesus didn't say, you sinner. He just said, blessed are those who have believed without seeing me. In sci-fi movies, many antagonistic creatures have the ability that when they are struck with a mighty blow, they have the ability to come back together and carry on. Terminator, ringing true to anybody. Y'all remember, boom, he gets hit with this massive shell. There's whatever that metal was called all over the place. And he just goes, and he goes back. He is nearly indestructible. That's what happens to our peace when something gets hit. When something catastrophic hits your life, your peace, I don't care if you freaked out or not, your peace just took a blow. Drought hits. We've got several farmers in here. Drought hits. What happens to your peace during that drought? You're like, oh, man. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and your faith is in God, you can rally that back together into peace, knowing that God has my back. I honor God. That no matter what may come against me, all those who rise up against me shall fall. Though 1,000 may fall at my left hand and 10,000 by my right, I will not fear what the enemy shall bring. But for us to teach that it's a sin is a lie. It is not a sin. Every person in here, and I don't care who you are, so don't tell me a lie. You've had your peace shaken. What if? What if? What about? Just because we have a moment that has rocked our world does not mean we lack faith. It was sent to destroy us. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you abundant life. Every last one of us have had something in our lives. Whether we dare say it or not, whether it was an attack directly on us or it was on somebody we love. Jesus told us that offenses would come. Well, now, Pastor, you're just talking about getting my feelings hurt. In fact, or I don't ever get offended. Jesus said it's impossible that no offenses should ever come. I just don't believe that I'm going to ever. No, I don't care what you believe. I can believe that I am a Ferrari F40 and sit in my garage and go, brum, brum. But that doesn't make me a Ferrari F40. In fact, it is impossible that none would ever come. Offenses are not always someone saying something that hurts you. That's what we look at offenses, isn't it? You offend me. Oh, for crying out loud. I praise God, though, for some of these people that I'm seeing, comedians in particular. I don't know why it is, why they're the ones that's got the stones to stand up and say what needs to be said from pulpits and from the lecterns at press conferences from our politicians. You do not have a right to force your belief on me. You are a woman or you are a man, and that is biologically a fact that will never change. I heard a comedian the other day, and he says, I'm sorry, I'm tired of, I can't remember what it was now, but I was like, dude, you're in Hollywood. You might have just killed your career. No, I think they're getting fed up with it too. They are traps. Thus the word scandalon. The word offense is scandalon. It means a trap. For those of us who, you know, may remember back in the day when they try to teach you stuff and you bend a tree limb over and you run a little rope around it and you stake it down and you put a carrot there for the rabbit, right? That's what scandalon is. It's a trap. It's something for you to step into. But it is something also designed for you. I am amazed at, so a couple years ago, we just had a rash of raccoons getting into the barn, just tearing things up. And I'm like, okay, we got to get some of these out of here. So I started setting all these live traps around. I caught one coon. So I went over to check out my other one, my other live trap. And I put a little can of tuna in there. I'm like, I'm going to get them. They can't resist tuna. So I set a little can of tuna in there. And, you know, I staked it down. It comes with a stake. You stake it down. I came back. The trap was set. It was off. There was no bait, no tuna, and no raccoon. The raccoon was smart enough to know that I set that for him, and he, I'm guessing it was a big boar, picked the thing up and shook it until the tuna fell out. Because the trap was discombobulated, and that's a trap. That's what scandalon, that's what offense means. It's something that is set for us. There's a bait there for us. Will we step in it? When you do trip it, and most likely it will spring without you doing anything different in your life, the traps in our life, sometimes you don't have to do anything different but exist. How many times has that happened to you? Why? What did I do? You didn't do nothing. You're just breathing. Your natural reaction is to fight out of it, isn't it? That's why you go in there and them raccoons or groundhogs or whatever you set that trap for, man, they're slashing around. That's why you anchor them. Some traps are designed that the more you fight, the tighter they get. Thus frustrating you all the more that you can't get out of it. It's because you're the one fighting it. Once you're able to calm yourself, finding your refuge in God. Okay, we're not talking about the live trap anymore. We're talking about things that get you. He can show you how to get free of that trap. There's this little thing, and many of you know about this little thing. It's called a Chinese finger trap. Electricians actually use them a lot. I remember the first time I saw my dad had one. I was like, oh, this is cool. He showed me how it worked on wire, and I stuck my finger, and I'm like, I can't get my finger out of it. But it's designed that the more you pull, the harder you pull, the tighter it gets. If you calm yourself, think about what you're doing, you can actually push against it and start freeing yourself from the fingers. I don't know if you can imagine having all your fingers attached like this. But you're panicked. See, that's the thing. Most people, the first thing that sets in is panic. And they start pulling, and you pull it. Eventually, you're not getting out of that because you've pulled it too tight. That's the natural instincts. That's what our flesh does. Well, I've trained myself not to. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how hard you train, you always have another level. There's always another level. Well, when do I finally get mature enough not to? Well, let's see, when you're pushing up daisies. That's it. That's when the training ends. When you find a situation is attacking everything in you, your mind begins to try and understand it, doesn't it? Why did this happen? How has this happened? How did this? And all of a sudden, you're in a whirlwind. And a whirlwind is nothing but a storm. As a matter of fact, she was sharing about the tree that fell on her property, and I guess, does Pat live out that way, Ted, over by Cardington? Okay, he's still further west. He sent me a picture from that night of a funnel cloud over that way, Prospect area. Tornado, that's what we really call them. We just wait till they touch down. But it's a tornado, it's a storm. And it's a matter of two fronts colliding. two forces in your life colliding. You've got your flesh, and you've got this situation, and now they're colliding, and they're just fighting. They're storming. They only come until that those forces are broken up. And that is God. That's the only thing. God is the only thing in your life that can change this. Well-meaning people try to tell you how to deal with it. We all do it. Don't say, well, I don't. Yeah, you do, and especially if you're a parent. You try to somehow subtly get it in there. And many of whom have never had to deal with the emotions you are confronting. I remember when I went to boot camp, all the great advice I got from people who had never even been into Boy Scouts, let alone the Marines. Keep your head down, do this, do that. Well, I knew to do what they said and yell and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't keep your head down enough. They will eventually know your name. And when they know your name, it's over. You're paying for things with everybody. Others who have can share with you. They can share with you what they did. However, you have to deal with it. If Cheryl's going through something, maybe I did, and I can give her the advice that I learned, but she still has to deal with it. She's a different person. Her emotions are different than mine. Some people, we react to different things in different ways. The only way to go is to go to God. He will help you wrangle the emotions in. Fear will continue to come at you. Fear is an intimidation that something is bigger than you or it's bigger than God. Understand something, folks. The greatest thing we have to fear is death. Not fear. Sorry, FDR. It's death. That's why we don't do things, right? When you get past the fear of death, what's to stop you from accomplishing everything God wants for you? The disciples saw what happened to Jesus. He was beaten. He was crucified. And some of them followed in suit. Some lost their heads, boiled in oil, yet lived. How did they do all this? They no longer feared death. If you take my life, as Paul said, for me to die is gain. Kill me. I dare you. We all begin to fear death. Death is nothing to be afraid of. But now we have the intimidation. Well, I'm going to go after this. My God is still bigger than death. Why? Because Jesus conquered death. Death no longer has the same hold on us. And I'm not, listen, this flesh and blood, it's gone one day. The death that is terminal is the eternal separation from God. He conquered that. One of the things God will tell you is He is your peace. He is your peace in this storm. He will be the one to bind your world back together. I'm going to tell you right now, save you some money at the therapist. Go to God first and listen to what God's saying to you. And by the way, God will never tell you to go kill anybody, just in the event. He doesn't tell people to do that. The second thing He will tell you is to pray for them. Pray for those who spitefully use you. They take advantage of you. I did nothing but good, and this is how, I can't tell you how many people I've done nothing but good, and they go off and they start telling lies about me. That was the hardest thing. I'll see if I ever help you again. And you're going to go down, you're going back around this mountain again until you learn it. Pray for them. Not about them or cursing them. Bless them. This releases you from trying to get justice, judgment, and even releasing your anger upon them. When you pray for them and then forgive them, you have separated yourself from the judgment that will befall them without repentance. By praying for them, you heap coals upon them. These are not from you, but from God. They are there to bring about repentance. God wants us to pray for people. We need to pray for those who don't believe the same as us. Those who may not love our country as much as we do. The people at work who are spreading lies about you. I mean, I worked right down the road here at this factory on the corner. And I had people telling lies on me, saying things. They said, I was going to sleep in the bathroom. Excuse me, ma'am. Exactly when were you in the bathroom? Now, and the downside to that was, well, there was a whole other situation. But that woman went to my supervisor, because I wasn't controlled by the shift supervisor. I had an independent because I did a different job. And told him that I was going in there and going to sleep. Well, this supervisor was my brother-in-law. And he asked me, and I said, absolutely not. And how on earth would she even know? I said, do I go in the bathroom at about 5 o'clock in the morning? I said, absolutely. I call that the witching hour. And on third shift, when you're operating equipment, that's when most of the people start going to sleep. And they cycle those machines. They have to cycle them by fingers, and they miscycle, and they cause them to crash, which means I have to take the machine apart, file pins back in, take everything back to quality control, get it approved, and then an hour later, we finally get back up and running. And it wasn't usually one person. It was 3, 4, 5. And when you've got about 15 operators, that's a huge hit because you don't have many extra machines. And I said, no, I go in there so I don't hurt somebody. I said, I'm going to be honest. I said, I go in there so I don't throw something at somebody for falling asleep. So over the years, I had to learn to pray for that person. But later I learned some things about that person, and I still pray for them. So, you know, we've been talking. Last week I shared with you, you know, after we left the party, 45 minutes waiting for French fries. Come on. It just started. So it didn't end this week. It just kept going. It kept snowballing. Thought, I'm going to get a break. No. I go to do some business for my parents. The bank, they start giving me, I said, you've got the power of attorneys. Well, how do I know that they refuse? Because you have the power of attorney. She wouldn't go beyond that one power of attorney and read the document that says, I'm to do all the business. I'm like, because I had to drive a half hour one way to get there to take care of this. Half hour back home. And then I get a call about a half hour after I'm home saying, sir, I have figured out what happened. If you want to come back in, we can take care of this for you. All right. I said, well, it ain't happening right now. I got an appointment, so I'm fine. I said, well, after the appointment, I said, I'm going to go up and take care of this. I want it done. I get up there, and the lady that helped me, I was like, Lord, I want somebody else, maybe, but I at least want the person who called me to be in the office. And anyhow, she got it all going, and I said, by the way, while I'm staying here, because I was moving money from a CD that had a decent rate, they cut it in half. Like, well, why would I lock money up into a CD for half the money? I said, we'll take that out, put it in the savings account. I said, by the way, what's the rate on that savings account? I said, I couldn't find it on the website. Let me check. 0.02. I said, you're kidding. No wonder they didn't advertise. They're embarrassed by it. Okay. Now, she said, but hang on a second. Let me see what I can. She said, well, I see we have a savings account that with a minimum deposit of X amount, we can give you 3.25. which was 1.25 over what they were going to give me for the CD. And the money's free to use. I said, do it. Put it all there. See, if I'd reacted in that morning, and I wanted to, folks, I wanted to just reach across there because I've had problems with her before. There, I feel better for about 10 seconds. If I had done that, if I had lashed out at her that morning, would I have gotten that savings account that offered more than, so far, anybody's CDs that I'm seeing? No. But God moved. Praise God, hallelujah, man. I was like, whoo, yeah, whoo. Running, I'm up. You know, that song, Ain't Nothing Gonna Break My Stride. That was me. Wednesday comes along, goes, and then Thursday, I said, you know what? I've been doing so much stuff, you know, here and there for the church and for other people right now. I said, I need a little bit of me time. So I'm going to go out here and finally work on my boat. I'm going to put that water pump together. And I go out there and got my coffee, hooked my radio up. And I was, well, I think I want a Q-tip to put that sealer on instead of that great big brush. And I go walking down. So I'll go in here and get a Q-tip out of the cabinet. Well, I didn't leave that cabinet open. I definitely didn't leave my office door open. Where's my laptop? I didn't leave those drawers open. I go back into the thing and I'm like, where's my Milwaukee Fuel impacts and batteries? Where's my steel chainsaw? Well, the deputy was there. I said, let me check something here real quick. I opened the door and said, well, they got my checkbooks. So I had to open up a new checking account that day. Two. Yeah. So when I tell you that I now know what it feels like to be violated like that. And I was furious. I mean, I'm not, and I'm trying to keep this under control because this will be the last time I'm sharing this. Because my flesh wants to react. Because I even told the deputy, I said, I think maybe I need to sleep in my garage, my shed or my shop tonight. I said, what I have with me, I don't know. And I said, you did not hear that. Because he warned me, he said, they might be back. And he said, do you think it was anybody you know? Because I said, you can't see your door. I said, yeah, I know. I said, it's one of two things. Somebody who's been here, either one thing or another, but you can't see that door. I'm like, Lord, I was so frustrated. And then it just hit me. I don't even feel at peace on my own property. And I was starting to get so mad. And that's when God said, I'm your peace. Okay, Lord. I even had to tell the deputy, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to, and I said, I'm sorry. I said, that's the Marine in me coming out. I want to lash out. I want to make them hurt. I want to make them feel violated the way I did, right? Isn't that what we do when we're hurting? We want to make somebody else. If I'd have lashed out at those people at Steak and Shake, y'all figured it out last week. If I'd have lashed out at them, what's going to happen next time I go in? People who have worked in that industry, am I not going to get a little extra in my milkshake or on my burger? I don't want any special sauce. But if you hold on to that, it will destroy you. As this was all going and just bubbling, I'm like, I got to do this. I got to deal with this. So, man, I now have a Ring doorbell. Works pretty good, except it tells me every time the flag on the porch flutters. I'm like, okay. Every time I open the barn door, it goes off. The dog walks across, it goes off. Didn't realize how many times in a day I do go in and out of that door until my phone's ding, 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 ding. But came together, and I came in, and you know, we were just, she was the first person I talked to. And I'm like, oh. And we just kind of, we hit it. We were both at the same point. Where's our peace? Somebody just stole that from us. And I said, God is our peace. So when I tell you that something that hits you, you think, well, I don't have that. I've known people. I put a door in for a lady right down the road here who had her back door kicked in by a student. Came in and he robbed her. He kicked her door in after school. And he robbed her, and she felt so violated. She's a little bit older than me. But that was her home. That was her whole security. And somebody stole that from her. She lived alone. And it's not like the houses were acres apart. You could look right into her neighbor's windows. And we said, Lord, I can empathize with somebody who's had that. Somebody who's had that peace stolen from them. I've had multiple neighbors right around us had things stolen. That's why the police seem to think they know that it might be coming from one particular hornet's nest. Unfortunately. And I was like, okay, I'm settling down. I'm like, God. I said, Lord, give me justice. God, you are my justice. You'll give me justice. I didn't care about the tools. You understand? Tools are replaceable. And besides that, anybody that owns Milwaukee knows they got bad triggers. I had a couple. I had a great big battery. Turns out it's the worst battery they've ever made, and the ratings show it. But they took that. It was a $300 battery. So, you know, it's like, oh, my circular saw, all this stuff. And I said, Lord, just give me justice. And then I was like, you know, I really don't care about that stuff, Lord. I said, it was the information on that laptop. My tax returns are on there. I got paper documents that are saved on there. Now, fortunate thing is, there's a reason it was still plugged in. Because it goes dead after about 10 minutes. And it's going to take them a lot longer than 10 minutes to figure out that password. So praise God. But I've already gotten all my passwords are changed. And as I'm going about that, Jesus reminded me, he said, pray for them who spitefully use you. Lord, I want to pray fire down like Elijah did. Consume them, right? No. I said, Lord, they evidently need you. These things are replaceable. The insurance will cover them. But their soul, their spirit, if they think that this is okay. I said, Lord, if they need food, if that's why they steal, then send them to me. I'll feed them. But if they're stealing, stop them. But I prayed for them instead of about them. And that's when I started getting my peace back. The camera, honestly, there's not a whole lot of peace in even having a camera. Okay, what was that flash? You know, bugs can really give off big flashes in infrared light. I saw one, I'm like, okay, is that an alien or is that a bug? The dinger by the thing now, there's an alarm over there that rings into the bedroom. Anybody goes up there, it lets me know. And by the way, if you're watching on Facebook, just know. I have taken measures. But above all, I freed myself from that. I shared with you last week, I think it was, about how Jesus said that if you hold anybody's sin, if you forgive them, it's forgiven. But it says if you retain that, that means you hold on to it. You hold on to it. Then you retain it. It doesn't say it's retained to them. It says you retain it. You are the one holding it. Guess who's paying the price? I just don't believe it. I don't care what you believe. I can see in people's lives the effects of holding on to a sin where you refuse to forgive the person. and it will destroy you from the inside out. I said, God, I don't want this. These people evidently, they really need you. Did I have to experience this so I would pray for those people instead of sitting there high on my hill and being judgmental? People are going to hell every day because they didn't receive what Jesus did. He wouldn't take it. Because people wouldn't pray for them. We prayed about them. Lord, bring down your swift justice. I've actually heard people pray that. I'm like, thank you, Lord, that you're not swift to bring judgment, that you are long-suffering with me because I am a fool. So my week has just been kind of one of these. I think I'm up, I'm running, I'm up, they see me, I'm down. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I also know that with every new level you're going to gain, there's going to be a test. Well, Pastor, it sounds like to me because you wanted to hurt some. I didn't want to kill them. I looked for beanbags for the shotgun. I just wanted to hurt them. My friend who's a cop told me you have to order them. I sought legal advice. I don't want to hurt them. I want them saved. I want them sitting in a chair, hearing the word of God, rejoicing in their salvation. Well, I don't know. It sounds like you went a little sideways. Let me tell you what. You get hit with a howitzer. You used to shoot them. You're not standing still and you're not standing upright anymore. That thing hits you, you're going, if it doesn't just blow a hole in you. That's what happens. But if we hold on to God as our peace, that's what it means to bring back as one. That's what happens. You're allowed to get hit, and I promise you, you will get hit. Things will come at you. Man, what if I'd have just locked the door? Would it have happened? Probably they'd have knocked the glass out. Saved myself a double pane window. Would I have heard it? Not likely. Well, Pastor, you need this, this, and this. I'm going to take some measures, but I refuse to live in fear. There ain't nothing in that, and I now know nothing that's important needs to be out there. Tools are replaceable. Their spirits are not. And I don't want somebody getting up and saying, why didn't you pray for me? Especially as if it turns out somewhere along the line, it was somebody I knew. Why didn't you pray for me? But you prayed, you cursed me. And I was killed the next week. No, we can't do that. We need to let God be our peace and bring us right back. And then every now and then the devil's going to throw you things. I'm going to squirrel off over here. Nope. You got to keep calling the word of God to remembrance. Remember the things God did for David. Remember the things God did for Jesus. He'll do them for you too. He's no respecter of persons. I want you to feel sorry for me. I want you to pray for them. Not me. Pray for them. I'm good with God. Evidently, they're not. And I hate to tell them, you done stole from the wrong person. Because I'm going to pray for you. Every time I look up, or if I go to grab a tool and it's gone, like I did yesterday, I went to get my speaker for the boat. I said, I'm going to see if I can hear this over the motor. I'm like, man, they stole my speaker. The charger too. I got a couple things to look for. But you know what happens when this happens? You start looking, what about this? What about that? I went, I'm like, oh no, where's my pressure washer? It sits back here. Oh, they walked out with my pressure washer. The Holy Spirit's like, no, they didn't. It's in the garage where you left it from because you're too lazy to bring it back. Angela's like, thank God for laziness. And I found one battery and a charger in the garage. And they didn't find the other red tools. They just grabbed what they could get. Yeah, that's good. Maybe you need it. God's going to replace my stuff with good. I ain't afraid of it. I just don't want to get bitter. I don't want to hurt people for the sake of justice. I don't want them to keep stealing. Come on. If you need food, call. I can make arrangements. We can get you food. But even the Bible tells us that if you steal because you're hungry and you get caught, you have to repay it 7 times. That was God's way of dealing with it. Just so you know, at this juncture, if that was the case, they'd have to pay me $21,000 if it was 7 times. I'm almost to 3,300 right now. Yeah. So you can understand why I was getting a little sideways. Nope, God, I'm not. Because you brought everything here to me. Milwaukee makes more tools. Skull Candy made more speakers. Oh, and I'd already replaced the laptop. Because they quit supporting that one. Good luck with that. I couldn't hardly get it to run. But unfortunately, I did use it. My sense of peace is coming back. Nope, I will not fear what the enemy may bring me. That is my property. I don't care. I own that. The devil doesn't. And if I let the devil keep me in fear, he owns it. And then he owns me. All right, let's stand. We're living in a time and day in which things are going to happen whether you're a believer or not. People say, oh, I set the angels around about my stuff. Nothing can ever happen. You know what? Justin was in an accident, and we pray that too. Doesn't mean the devil's not going to try. And if you put all your faith in a chant or a mantra, you're going to get tried in it. Because a chant and a mantra is not faith in God. It's that exactly. I can yell Semper Fi all day long. Always faithful, right? Marines are one of the cheatingest bunch of people you ever want to meet. We don't steal. We tactically acquire things. That's the truth. We don't lie. We just don't tell you all the facts. I learned the hard way, Marine Steel, right out of boot camp. It's like, man, where'd my flashlight go? I need my flashlight. 2 weeks later, guy right down the bunks from me. They hauled him away with handcuffs because he was stealing money and flashlights. He had 6 flashlights. And they're terrible flashlights until you need one. But understand, everything in your life, no matter what it is, it's a test. are you going to pass it? I could have got mad at the VA for taking that funding away. Why did you do that? I've got letters states that I'm qualified. Well, you don't qualify. Okay. God, what do I do? And he said, tell your doctor. Doctor says, I'm going to put this through this way. It hit so fast that they called me the very next morning. That's God. They said, we have approved you. Let's see. Usually they only have 90 days of approval. Let me see. Oh, they've approved you for 365 days. That's my Jesus. That's my God. Whatever it takes, I will speak clearly again. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the examples we can see in your word. But Lord, first and foremost, we thank you for that peace. Father, it's the ability to bring things back together, to bring our spirit, soul, and body back into unison with you. That our spirit wants to do what is right. It is willing, but it is our flesh, our mind, will, and emotions in this body that follows it that are weak. Lord, I pray for all of us that as we face tests, and Lord God, I can say without a doubt because of it time and time again, when I go through something, many others experience similar things. Father, remind them to hold on to you just as you did me. Father, I bless them. Clarity of mind, Lord God. Just because somebody gets knocked down doesn't mean they fell. They will get back up. They may stagger, but they got back up and they're reaching for you. Bless them, Father. And Lord God, I do thank you for your people today. Lord God, and I truly, truly bless them. Bless them with courage, Father. Bless them with strength to carry on. Father, bless them with wisdom and how to handle things. In Jesus' name, amen.